I'll try that again. Good morning. That's nice. Yes, no one's going to sleep. Sorry. About 3 or 4 months ago, I was asked by Neville at the men's prayer breakfast to explain authentic and my relationship with that. So this is a party political broadcast on behalf of authentic. And so I'm just going to take just a couple of minutes to talk about authentic and what they're trying to achieve, what they have achieved. And then I want to speak a little bit. There's some really, really good articles in here, I know, because I wrote one. So I'm going to talk a little bit about one of the articles I wrote in here this morning. But first of all, let me explain to you a little bit about how this happened. When we retired to Cambridge, that's before we retired to Bluff, when we retired to Cambridge after working and so on, we wanted to see where God would take us and lead us and so on. So we took a year off, and then after that, things started to develop. And we learned about authentic because our son was involved, and you'll see that in a minute. This is their statement, and you can all read that about what they want, what they're trying to do. But it's really all about testimony. You know, we are called to be witnesses, yeah? I mean, we're to go into all the world. Now, I can preach to a congregation. I've preached in Auckland, I've preached in Hamilton, and maybe I've preached to a couple of hundred people. But authentic is going out to around about 5,000 men. Well, 5,000 issues. A lot of them going to churches. Churches are bringing them in for their men to read and so on. But here's an opportunity to share testimony, to share witness. And so we understand what they're trying to achieve. It's pretty straightforward. There is very little in terms of encouragement for men. Amen, men? Amen. I mean, how much encouragement you get as a Christian man? Sunday morning, maybe men's meeting. Not a lot, you know. We have our Bible, and we have perhaps some Christian stuff on the internet that we can enjoy, but not an awful lot. And so Dave Firth, who was quite a while the manager at Cape and Ray, you've heard of Cape and Ray, in Waikato, and he is an entrepreneur. He's one of the and he saw the idea that perhaps one day authentic might be a possibility. My son Lee is a web designer and a media expert and has built his own company and so on. So they got together and started formulating. Now we came across Dave at Cape and Ray because it's Jackie's fault. The grandkids were being homeschooled. And so because they were being homeschooled, they didn't get Bible in school. She said, that's not good enough. I'm doing Bible in school. I could do Bible in school for the grandkids. Dave Firth heard about it, said, how about we give you the facilities at Cape and Ray and you do Bible in school for all homeschool kids? We said, that's good. Started with five. In the end, we had two classes. She did all the young people. I did the teenagers. And it grew all homeschool people. And the people who probably benefited the most were the mums. They started having mums prayer groups while the kids were with us. And so it was a way that we could get into the community and work with the community and work with Dave. Now, when Cape and Ray changed, their management changed, and Dave and Lee got together, they said, let's really go for this. Let's really go for this and see what we can come up with. And so about 4 or 5 years ago, they started with enough. They raised enough funds to do just 1 year, four issues. Well, it's grown, and it's grown, and it's grown. And so now the situation is that last year they approached me, and they said, we were talking to Lee, but then I was talking to Dave and talking to Jeremy, the editor, and he said, we've changed focus. Well, you know, we rely so much. You look at the magazine, we rely so much on American contributions, on British contributions. We want to make this a New Zealand Australian magazine. And so Lee said to me, would you write something? Well, I've never done a lot. I mean, I've done some writing of articles. I published a church magazine, so I wrote some magazine articles and so on. But I'd never really sat down and wrote something. So I thought, oh, okay, I can do that. And sent it off, and I was amazed. Within just a matter of days, the editor rang me, and he said, can you give me some more? He said, we're really trying to build New Zealand content. So now my plea to you all is, write your testimony down. God worked in your life, men. And if you write it down, I know I would be interested to read it, and so would many others. So my challenge today is for men to relate what they've experienced. Now, it can be just your testimony, it can be your experience, it can be teaching, it can be anything that would be an encouragement to other men. And so what we want to do is to try and build the magazine. So that was it. Now, what I want to do now is, that was just party political broadcast. So think about that, pray about that, and see if you can help authentic. But I want to share with you now something that's in the magazine that I wrote, that I just thought was an interesting side thought. So let's just pray together, and we open God's word together. Father, we thank you that, Lord, we have the freedom in this country. So many places you can't speak freely about Christian things. But Father, we're grateful that we can share our testimonies, share the word of God, learn from each other, and learn from the Bible, the things that we need to know. So bless us as we study again today, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we saw earlier on, we call him Doubting Thomas. I actually don't like that description, I'll be honest, because if you look at the word of God, he didn't doubt, he just did not believe. And he says in the word of God, and we can read it, it says, at the end there, except I shall see in his hands and the print and the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand, I will not believe. Now, you can't get any more positive than that. Now, was he a disciple? Was he with Jesus? See the miracles? Hear the teaching? All that stuff. How many disciples saw Jesus? He didn't believe any of them. Now, you could say, hang on a minute. But I have a little sympathy with Thomas. Where were they? Everything's gone pear-shaped. Jesus is gone. All the hopes. And maybe he was, thinking, Jesus promised he's going to go, and then he's going to come back, and he's going to set us free, and he maybe thousands of angels, and be the biggest empire, and he'd drive out the Romans, and the Jews will be God's people, and everything's going to be wonderful, and it's all gone wrong. So you could understand maybe, and then they go, oh, he's alive, and they go, well, that might be all right for you, but it's not all right for me. And I can kind of understand that. So is seeing really believing? It's a common expression, isn't it? We say seeing is believing. But it's not true at all. We all know the gospel. And the world knows the gospel. No one is going to be ignorant. No one is going to stand before God and say, I do not know, I never heard, I don't know anything. Because you cannot say that today. You cannot say that. There is evidence that has been presented for millennia about the gospel. And either people respond or they reject. And so you can't say, well, unless I see it, I can't believe. You can read the Fox books and books of martyrs about people who have died for their faith, going back before even Christ, died for their faith. And yet you go, well, I don't, the world says, I will not believe. And yet for some of us, God has opened our eyes to the truth. Look at the opportunity that Thomas had. He was there with Christ. He saw all the wonderful things that had happened, and yet he struggled with his faith. We all struggle with our faith. We all want more, don't we? We all want more encouragement, more understanding, more growth, more to be like Christ, and yet we fail. The Apostle Paul says we war daily, and that's so true. Every day we get up, we fight the battle with self. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few that will go. And yet, the evidence is so, so demanding of a response. And seeing is believing. We see the faith in others. And the world sees the faith in you and doesn't like it. You are a testimony, whether you like it or whether you don't. And the world sees it, and do they love you for it? I know when I got saved, the people in my company thought that I had a mental breakdown. They went, "Do you hear about Barry?" I know, because I heard later, Later you hear what people said about you before, because they forget that, And they had, my life changed. And they hated it. They hated it. I was seeing is believing. They looked at me and they went, "He's strange. He's funny. Something's happened. He's had a breakdown." Men, that's the way it happens. We have to deal with it. But we are a testimony, and people see us, and yet they reject Christ. I was thinking, as I was thinking about this, that whole thing with the rich man and Lazarus, where in the end he goes, "Hey, send me back, or send the prophets back, and tell them they've come back from the dead, and they'll believe." No, they won't. No, they won't. They see Christians who have dedicated their life to serve God, and they hate it. Just as the Pharisees and the Jews hated Christ. Why? Because they will not believe. Even though they see it, they will not believe. They will not believe. Humankind rejects sin. I don't want to hear about sin. I don't want to hear about holiness. I don't want to hear about righteousness. I don't want to hear about those things. See, hearing, it's almost like seeing, isn't it? Almost like seeing. Messiah was rejected of the Jews. It's rejected. He was rejected by the world and is still rejected by it. And we think about all of the things, the messianic promises that were fulfilled in Christ. And even believers, John the Baptist, he's in prison, and he sends out and he says, is it really the Messiah? And Jesus said, "Tell him about my ministry. Tell him about the prophecies. Did I make the lame to walk, the blind to see? I raise the dead, I walk on water, feed 5,000. Did I do all those things?" Seeing is not believing. We have to understand. The world will never get enough proof of Jesus Christ. Never get enough proof. "Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Believing. My Lord, my God. His faith was made sight. We sing a song about faith being made sight. And I believe that is true. If God touches your heart, the Holy Spirit gives sight and gives understanding. And we know what we know based on what we have learned and what we have understood. And the Word of God never changes. It is the same yesterday, it is the same today, and it is the same tomorrow. Seeing what God is doing is believing. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. What a wonderful statement to believe in. And all the proof is ours. We can hold the word of God. We can trust the word of God. We can live the word of God. And seeing doesn't have to be involved. It's here and it's here. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to understand the truth. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us that we might know the truth and be free and understand that faith is ours just through simple believing in what you have told us to be true. And help us to be a blessing to our neighbor. Lord, we are told to love you with all our heart and with all our mind and all our strength. And the second commandment, love our neighbor. Help us, Father, to be a witness and a testimony that by sight people may see the love of God in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.